We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All across the Mountain State, this is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Welcome to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the West Virginia University Mountaineers. Today's show is also brought to you by Farmer Klein & Campbell, West Virginia's injury lawyers, CEC, Civil and Environmental Consultants, hiring West Virginians to do West Virginia's work, CECinc.com, that's CECINC.com. In addition to Coach Brown's weekly comments, we'll hear from West Virginia assistant coaches and key Mountaineer players. Now, let's talk Mountaineer football alongside the Wolfman, Dale Wolfley. Here's your host, Dan Zangrilli.
And a very pleasant good evening, afternoon to you, Mountaineer Nation. It's been a while since we've been with you. Saturday, I've been just absolutely thrilled to get back out on the air with you after the 56-10 victory over Eastern Kentucky. So exciting to be back in a game week sort of setting, even though this is a bye week, Dale Wolfley. It's just been a surreal 72 hours to think about not only a game being played, but then to play it, but then to play it in the manner in which West Virginia did, and then to do our second press conference show here on MSN and talk about all of the things that we've been longing to talk about, and that is football. Wolf, I'll tell you what, a lot of fun. Good to be back with you. Good to be 1-0 as well.
Actually, it's always good to be undefeated at this point of the season. And Danny, you're so right, because when you look at the buildup and how many weeks, you know, we're like, okay, hold on, stay, you know, stay in your pattern, don't do anything. And then it's like, okay, we're going to go. So, all right, now you got a couple weeks to get it together, and here's 1,000 regulations that go with it. And everybody's pulling on the rope, Danny, from, you know, the coaches, administration, the players, you know, everyone in the program has had to do it. And it was a terrific Saturday to showcase all that coming together and the plan coming together and being actually able to go out and play the season.
You know, looking at the stat sheet, again, it's all the more impressive. I mean, whether it's on the ground, West Virginia was able to establish a run game. We'll chat with Letty Brown coming up a little bit later on in the program He had a couple of touchdowns. Alex Singfield was able to have a big breakout game. I was speaking to Matt Moore a little earlier. 12 offensive linemen played. The majority of them being young guys. That was so encouraging to see. Zach Frazier really graded out particularly well. So did Mike Brown. So we're looking forward to chatting with Jared Parker, West Virginia's offensive coordinator, coming up a little bit later on in the program. But we have Neil Brown coming up here in just a little while. It'll be interesting to see how WVU will handle this bye week. Do they use it as the traditional bye week, or do they just use this extra time to get physically ready and really dive into Oklahoma State?
Well, to some degree, you have to use it as a traditional because you got to get ready for Oklahoma State. You know, no more Eastern Kentucky universities. Now you got the Big 12. It's just lays ahead.
All right, well, stay with us. Coming up next, we'll hear from the head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers. Neil Brown will be stepping to the podium, and then a little bit later on, we will chat with Jared Parker, plus Letty Brown will stop by as well. With you until 1 o'clock across our MSN family of radio stations and, of course, streaming live on the multitude of digital platforms. With Dale Wolfley, I'm Dan Zang. Really, stay with us. We'll return in just a moment here on the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, all presented to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
Civil and Environmental Consultants, or CEC, is an employee-owned engineering and environmental consulting firm. At CEC, people come first, whether that's our clients, our employees, or our fellow citizens. It's why we listen intently and work harder to learn our clients' business. It's why we prioritize the career development of every individual on our team, and it's why we're invested in the success of our local communities. People are why we do what we love and love what we do. CEC, West Virginians doing West Virginia's work. Visit CECinc.com for more. That's CECinc.com.
You're listening to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the Mountaineers. Now, it's time to hear from Coach Brown.
All right, we're awaiting Coach Neil Brown at the podium, and we'll be, I'm sure, getting a great assessment of what he was able to do over the weekend and diving in a film and talking with the assistants. Wolf, when you look back at the film, what jumped out? You know, there's things that you always see live that are impressive, but when you watch the tape, there are all of those little nuances that you say, oh, wow, that was good, that or maybe not so good. What were some of them that you were able to see?
Well, it wasn't perfect by any means, any standards, but when you look at it, they went out and did what they wanted to accomplish from the goals from last year. They wanted to run the ball, certainly did. They wanted to be more efficient in the offensive line. They certainly did. They wanted to throw the ball to those stable receivers. Seven wide receivers caught passes, and they looked really sharp. Defensively, they wanted to swarm. They wanted to improve the third down percentage, get the other opponents off the field. And what did they do? They went 1-for-11, yeah. Danny. So when you look at this and you look at the overall thing, not perfect. Sloppy. Few penalties, yeah. A few things that Coach Brown is gonna and the staff are gonna work out. A little bit of chirping at times, but hey, you know what? They're anxious. They want to get on the field and play, and all that comes in that first game. So now, obviously, the old cliche, Danny, you get better. What the second week of the season, the second game of the season, more than any other time during the season, because you actually get out there and play, and you get to see yourself under stressful game-like situations. It's not practice, you know. There's a difference. And if you go out there and play it, you'll know what I mean. And, of course, with the way that everything has gone down and the lack of summer conditioning, they actually have had to worry about their conditioning. But let's go to Coach Brown.
Yep, let's go.
Saturday, kind of after the game, about the numbers. I'll kind of recap the game offensively, defensively, special teams. Try to remember to look at the this messes me up because normally on Zoom, I'm looking at the screen. Now I got to look at the camera. So my wife got on me from post game. So recap kind of the game is defensively, I'll start. I'll kind of hit negatives, positives for you all that were here last year. It's kind of how we did it. Defensively, the negatives were the three explosive pass plays. And then we had two missed takeaway opportunities. One of them glanced off our hands. And one of them, we had a missed assignment where we should have been right there waiting on the ball. And we've got to do a better job getting all 11 guys to the to the football. I thought we pursued okay, but in our league with the explosiveness that we're going to play, we've got to do a better job getting hats to the ball. The positives, very few missed assignments, and we played a lot of people. Eastern was 1 of 11 on third down, which was impressive. 2.3 yards per rush, and then 4 sacks and 9 TFLs, you know, within 49 snaps. So 13 of the 49 plays were negative plays. So that was job well done there defensively. Offensively, the negatives, perimeter blocking, we've got to make some strides there. I thought the details in our routes were just okay. We've got to be better than that. And then I was really disappointed in the second half. We missed on a 4th and short, and we weren't able to convert in the red zone, you know, which have been point of emphasis for us, especially in the red zone. We were not able to do that, missed the chip shot. The positive, 0 turnovers and 86 countable snaps, 329 rushing yards, which has been, as you know, something we've really focused on. And we started fast, which is took the ball coming out, and that was by design. And we started fast, and we wanted to get ahead, and we were able to do that. Special teams, without a doubt, the most disappointing part of Saturday afternoon. Penalties, you know, we don't want to ever be in a situation where West Virginia beats West Virginia. And we were better than Eastern, so it didn't hurt us. But we cannot get in the Big 12 play and have that many penalties. We had 6 flags, 6 penalties. We had more flags than that, but only 6 penalties that were accepted on special teams. The kickoff cover team, which has been a strength of ours all through last year, and really did a nice job other than one. And thankfully, it was a penalty that called it back, but they returned one for us on a touchdown, and we just had about 4 guys that didn't do what they were coached to do on that. And our field goal protection wasn't good enough, and we missed the 25-yard field goal. We got to be better than that. The positives, we downed a punt inside the 1, which is something we put a lot of work into, and we won the field position battle. Even with all the negative plays we had on special teams, we still won the field position battle. So that was good. When we win, we give awards, and so I'll kind of go through our weekly awards. Start with special teams player of the week. As a starter, he was starter on punt return and kickoff. Had a huge play on kickoff right after they returned the one for the touchdown. They get called back. And so the special teams player in the week in his first game as a Mountaineer, Alonzo Adai won that award. Next award, offensive lineman of the week. Without a doubt, played his best game in a Mountaineer uniform. Grayed out 87%, had the highest production grade of anybody that played on the O-line. And that was Mike Brown, and he'll be back. We took him out in the third quarter there with an injury, but he's fine. He'll practice today at full speed. The defense player of the week, again, in his first action as a Mountaineer, 8 solo tackles, 2 assists, and that was Tony Fields. And I thought he flew around and played it at a really high speed. The offense player of the week, and this is obvious, 10 rushes, 123 yards, 1 reception for 15 yards, 3 touchdowns on the day. The most impressive stat to me is something that we've talked a lot about, and he's made a point of emphasis, is 0 negative yardage plays. He had 0 runs with negative yardage, and the offense player of the week was Letty Brown. We got a new award that we're doing this year. We're calling it the Blue Collar Award. It's kind of meant to be a tip of the hat to the people here of West Virginia. And this goes to a player that does behind the scenes work that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but it's important to our success. And this player played 31 snaps on offense, was an integral part in our run game, started on our punt return unit and did a nice job ensuring the kick, and then started on our field goal unit in his first extensive action. And so Jackson Knipper wins our first blue collar award. Our scout team players of the week last week on offense, it was Trent Jackson, who did a really nice job kind of leading that group. Scout team defense player of the week was Linnell Carr. And Linnell is a guy that showed up in the stat sheet, got a sack. And you like to see when guys perform well in the scout team and then they get an opportunity. And Linnell took advantage of that opportunity. I think he's got a lot of potential. He'll be a guy that plays a lot of football around here over the course of his career. And then the scout special teams player. And this guy, he's done a great job for us all fall camp. He got an opportunity to run down on kickoff and made a great play, an open field tackle. And that's Quamazius Mosby. And he he really made a nice play there on kickoff, but he was our scout team special teams player of the week. And our last award, we give it to the best guy. And this is really important. Now, we always have this, what we call the juice squad, on the sidelines during the games. And it's even more important since we don't have fans in the, we had a bunch of guys that were up for this award, but the guy that did the best is our backup punter, Evan Mathis. So those are our awards for the week. Kind of wrap up before I take questions. Good start to the season. Glad we got to play a lot of people in our opener. This is a week that's not like a typical bye week. We've got to continue to make improvement. We're not going to spend as much time at the facility, but we're going to have more camp style practices than bye week style practices. A lot of good work this week. We've got to continue to improve as we go to our Big 12 opener on September 26th. And I also want to mention before I take questions, this is Extra Yard for Teachers Week. It's an initiative by the College Football Playoff, and we'll be doing things all week to recognize teachers and what they do for our young people and the role they play in society. So with that, I'll open up for questions.
So, Coach, by my count, you played nearly 24 redshirt freshmen or true freshmen. So just give me a little look at some of the young guys. You had to get almost everybody you want. Was there anybody you didn't get to play?
No, we felt like that everybody that was ready to play got in the game. And I'm sure we missed somebody, but we played a lot of people. You know, I thought the young guys that played, you know, defensively, Akeem Mesidor got his first – action. Daryl Porter Jr. got in the game and played. I think he was in there on the third series. And then, you know, offensively, there was a lot of guys. You know, Zach Frazier started as a true freshman. I thought he played really well. I thought he set a tone up front for us. Did a nice job with his physicality and just playing through the whistle. Sam Brown was productive. He started the game. Charles Finley played, I think, 16 snaps at tight end and did a nice job. Jordan White played, I think, every snap, but maybe two in the second half. And you know, he's a guy that we think is going to be a really good player down the road for us. I think he'll be a factor as a backup this year. And so, and then, you know, Tony Mathis got a bunch of carries in the second half. And we got to look, like I said, we got to look at a lot of people. And we'll need to continue to do that. Reese Smith was a bright spot as a true freshman, four catches. And then Grayson got in and made a couple nice plays too. So, and that's just off the top of my head there, Greg.
Got to hit the unmute here. You mentioned Frazier, Yates. How did those guys do assignment wise? And where is your comfort level now with the offensive line, having those young guys play and then getting the other guys back?
Yeah, well, my comfort level has been improving. You know, I don't think we've arrived yet. I was impressed with what Zach did in his first college action. And it's tough. Center to me is the hardest position to play early, but he did it, and he did it well. And I was proud of how he not only performed, but how he prepared during the week, because that gave him an opportunity. And I thought Yates did a nice job. Probably should have included him with Greg's question. You know, he started as a redshirt freshman. And the unique situation for him is he didn't get here to fall camp last year. So he's never gone through a summer conditioning program either year. And so he's really young physically, but I thought he did a nice job. He's got to be more consistent. You know, his good plays are really good, but there was too many negative plays by him. But he's a guy that I think has a lot of potential, and he'll continue to play and get better as we move along. But I think, you know, on the 26th and then moving forward, that's where we've got to continue to prove that we're better. You know, I don't think just because we ran the ball well against Eastern Kentucky or our offensive line played better, that's what we were supposed to do. Now we didn't always do what we were supposed to do last year, so that's a step in the right direction. But we've got to be able to do it and sustain it against good people at the Power Five level in our conference.
Real quick, how was the physicality of the offensive line? That's something you talked about all camp. Did you see some of that?
Yeah, I thought at times it was really good, and at times we've got to be better. You know, I'd like for us to chase the ball and finish plays better. You know, I think I want to play with a mentality, you know, a little tougher mentality throughout games, but I thought we showed some signs.
Next question from Ryan Crick. Go ahead, Ryan.
I got to get the unmute here too. Two quick ones for you, Coach. One young guy I don't recall seeing was Avarius Sparrow. If I'm wrong about that, please let me know. But I was wondering if there was any particular reason there you could share with us, or just a rotation thing. And then the second one, we talked obviously a few times here about Tony Fields and how well he played. Obviously a little bit behind with the transfer thing. How big is this next 2 weeks for him with the bye week to kind of further settle into that defense, and how much better and more comfortable do you feel he'll get over these next couple weeks?
Yeah, so Sparrow did not play. He was dressed and was eligible to play. We just chose not to play him just because we're trying to figure out who that third running back is going to be, and we wanted to give Tony Mathis an extensive look there. You know, he had by far the most carries, and he was up and down. He's got to play better. We need him to play better. We gave Doerr some carries because he deserved it. And so that was the reasoning behind that. Tony, these next 2 weeks are big. I mean, this week is big for – it's not a normal bye week. It's continue to get him in condition to play, continue to get him confidence in the schematics that we're running. But, you know, he really didn't have a whole lot of missed assignments in the game. You know, some of that was what we were doing. But they threw a lot at us. They were quite a bit different. Schematically, Eastern was quite a bit different schematically than they were against Marshall. A lot of gap schemes that they didn't show. More quarterback read, kind of zone option, gap option, things like that that they hadn't shown. So he got some things thrown at him, and I think this week and next are going to be big for him without a doubt. You're right.
Vandarius Cohen had a sack and two TFLs. He didn't play much last year. How nice was it to see him active on Saturday, and how big of a part of the defensive game plan is he going to be getting ready for Oklahoma State?
Well, it's good that he's playing. He's got to continue to stay out there and stay healthy. That's been an issue for Vandarius. I do think he's mentally and physically in probably as good a spot as he's been since I've known him. But he did. He made some plays. I think he's got to be more consistent. You know, the penalty was really unfortunate because it was a 3rd and 10. He gets a late hit on the quarterback, which should not happen. And then they extend that drive and ended up getting points out of it. You know, I always look at those penalties as kind of what's the ending impact. And that was a 3-yard, 3-point, 50-plus yard penalty there. And so he's got to be better. But I thought he was active. And he showed up. You know, the sacks and TFLs. I thought he did a good job with some of the line movements as well.
Next up is Sean Manning. Hey, Neil. Alex Singfield is a guy who kind of bided his time and even battled injuries 2 years ago under the previous staff. Just kind of what has he done to get the carries he got on Saturday? And is he kind of a guy, him and Letty, going to be kind of even, you think, throughout the year as of right now, I guess?
Well, Letty's a star at this point, and he's earned that right. But Sink is a guy that's had a really productive camp, and he's been considerably different player, you know, over the last 6 weeks compared to what he was last year. I think he's playing with more confidence. He's added some bulk. He's been more decisive in the run game. And you've heard me say this before, Sean, is he took coaching at the end of the year last year, and he really was – hungry to play more and wanted to know what he could do to improve. And Chad Scott, our running back coach, really gave him detailed things to work on. And during the quarantine and during his time away, he really worked on those things. He's been better in space. He's been better in finishing runs. And so he's a guy that's going to continue to play, and we'll continue to script and game plan to get him touches.
Hey, Coach. So Letty Brown credited his improved performance on Saturday mostly to his increased or improved relationship with the offensive line. I don't know. Have you noticed that? And can you kind of talk about what that means in a running game to have a relationship like that between a running back and an offensive line?
Well, I think chemistry is a positive no matter what. It works together. The O-line running backs spend a ton of time together during the practice, whether it's working on protection or working on run installs and all that kind of stuff. So I think Letty has respect for those individuals. There's guys up there that have worked extremely hard. There's several of those guys that he spent you know, have been here about the same amount of time as he's been here. And as he's gone through the growth process, those O-linemen have as well. So I think there's mutual respect there. I think that he's got more confidence in them now than he probably did a year ago. And so I think that relationship will continue to grow, and our hope is it'll continue to be productive.
You mentioned evaluating your young players in a game like this, you know, where you're against a lot of subs and the game may be a little sloppy when some of those guys get in. What do you look at? Is it as much executing their assignments where they're supposed to be? You know, how much does production figured in? You know, what are the big things you're looking for?
And this will sound a little bit of just me saying the same thing over, but how we evaluated our guys in this game, and it'll be the same how we evaluate them against Oklahoma State, is did they play at the effort that we demand, which we call it perfect effort, all right? Were they physical? And then did they do what they were coached to do when it's been well-defined? And those are the way that we evaluate every play, and they're each graded independently, regardless of what happened the previous play. Does production play a role in playing time? Absolutely, it does. You know, the most productive people at every position play. But as far as the evaluation process, those are the three things that we evaluate, and it's a by-play evaluation.
And over to Mike Cazada. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Neil, a normal season, you probably have some guys out in the road going to junior college or high school games. That's not happening. I'm curious what you have planned differently, and have you all even got into the live streams or the on-demand stuff you're allowed to do now?
Yeah, so we've had a recruiting meeting yesterday. We'll have another recruiting meeting today. We'll definitely spend more time on recruiting this week. But yeah, we've gotten more practice film, probably evaluated, workout film evaluated than we would in a normal fall situation for sure. But it's different. It is different. You know, I really miss the live evaluations. I think that's something that everybody across college football, the good thing, I guess, is that everybody's on the same, you know, everybody's on an even playing field. It's, you know, nobody's getting live evaluations. So it's difficult, you know, but we're making the most of it. But we're active recruiting this week, not only 21, but 22, getting heavy into the 22. You know, we're a little bit, you know, the schools that haven't been playing, you know, they've been able to spend all their time recruiting. So we're a little bit behind compared to some of the people we compete against.
Back to Greg Hunter, go ahead.
Coach Scotty Young and Jaquay Hubbard, anything new on their waiver status? Do you expect?
No, we haven't got any waivers. Yeah, I haven't got anything on any of them. I checked before I came in here.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned the punt down at the one that was by Kyle Poland in his first real action. What does it say about a guy who barely sees the field at all in his first 4 years here? He comes in, I saw the video of him earning a scholarship, and he's from here, so I'm sure it means a little bit more to him.
Oh, without a doubt. Family are all true Mountaineers, and I think he's a great representative of our program. I think it's tremendous that he's from right here in Morgantown. I think it gives a lot of kids that are my son's age and older that kind of grow up here and play in the youth leagues and then play in the big stadium. You know, it's I think that's the dream for a lot of people that are in this community, in this state. And he's a great kid, already graduate in May with a graduate degree, and married in the office. It's been a big year for him. You know, he's starter, scholarship, married, having a child. So he's got a lot going on, but he's definitely capable of handling all those responsibilities.
Over to Chris Hall.
Good afternoon, Coach. You started Sam Brown over the weekend. Just want to know what went into that decision and just his evaluation after you watched the film.
Yeah, I just thought he deserved the opportunity. He'd been productive in camp and wanted to make a point. But he played better than I thought he would, really. You know, he's a little bit up and down last week. But he went out there, and that's the thing. You never know. I always tell our guys, you know, you have to, you know, all preparation does is give you an opportunity. If you don't prepare, you have no opportunity, but you still have to perform. And different people react different ways when they're under the limelight or when it's game day, however you want to say it. And some people just rise to the occasion, and that's what he did. He was up and down practice wise last week. Wasn't overly consistent. Now did everything we asked him to do. And he'd shown some flashes and scrimmages and things like that. But really was kind of unsure of how he was going to play. Confident in his abilities, but just unsure. Hadn't been in a game situation with him. And he goes out and he makes two difficult catches in the first two series. And so I'm excited about him. I really am. I think that young group of wideouts that we have, there's a lot of potential there, and there's a lot of competition. If we could mirror that competition in that room across our whole team, and that's our goal in recruiting, then we'll be in a good situation.
Got it. Curious, we haven't talked about this much, but how was the timing? You know, I know when you did the split squad stuff, maybe Austin Kendall was with Sam James or Jared was with somebody else. What was the timing like Saturday, and is that still a work in progress for your guys all across the board?
I thought it was okay. You know, I don't think it was the execution of the pass game was where, as a coach, you want it to be, but I don't think it was poor either. Accuracy wise, if you look at our percentage, we high percentage, but I think we can place the ball in some better spots. But I thought Jared in particular threw the ball well. There's probably two throws that if he throws the ball where it needs to be, he's probably a 300 plus yards in the first half, and he's probably up for some of those weekly awards, you know? And so, but he will get better. I thought he made a couple significant throws that on the same type of throw he struggled with maybe at the end of last year. So, and I was really excited about how he prepared, and I was excited about his demeanor in the game, really even keel. And so he'll only get better, but I think overall timing wise, it was okay. I think we'll continue to get better, and that's why this week is important. And that's what I told our team yesterday afternoon. We didn't practice yesterday. We'll practice today. This has got to be a week we get better.
Hey, Neil. So going back to special teams real quick, you had two new starters. You already mentioned Kyle Poland, but you had Tyler Sumter too. How do you think those two did? And what was the determining, I guess, factors coming out of camp for those two battles?
Yeah, Poland consistently was in a winning situation. The punting battle kind of went back and forth. And really, one of the things I think – Greg asked me earlier who didn't play. I should have said Colt McGee. Colt McGee was a guy that I really wanted to get in the game. He was going to take every punt that we had in the second half. We just didn't punt the football in the second half. So as far as Sumter, he mishit the one that went down to the one, but it still went down to the one. If you look at it on paper and he had 55 yard average, you're like, wow. But we gave 20 yards back on the second punt because he kicked it in the end zone. And he really hit that ball well. So I thought he was fine. He'll be better. You know, he'll be better. And I got that. That probably answered your question, Cody. I kind of bounced around.
Last two here. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Neil, actually, I went about Jordan White and what went into getting him to flip when he wasn't playing at all last year. It's kind of an odd situation, but you piqued my curiosity on Sam Brown. You said trying to make a point. I'm wondering if that's at the expense of Sam James, who's the other guy there, and is that just a way to kind of get him up to the level of expectations you hold for him?
Now, Sam missed some practice time. You know, he had a little bit. I think I said this after the game. He had a little bit of injury there. He missed some practice time, so just felt like the people that had practiced. Sam Brown had been out there every day during fall camp. What was the first part of that, Mike? I'm sorry.
The first part was Jordan White and just kind of a guy.
Oh, Jordan White.
Yeah.
Well, he played. Yeah. Well, he played as a senior. He didn't play as a junior.
Right.
So, yeah. And I give Jordan a hard time about this. He came maybe on one of the first recruiting weekends, maybe the first junior day that we had when I was here the first month I was here as a head coach, and was overweight. I didn't know it at the time. I'd learned once he was here that he didn't play as a junior, had a foot injury, and I think he got hurt or injured in the first game. And so we really got on him. We recruited him at that point, but we wanted to see him in some live situations in the fall. And what we saw is a kid that was really physical, and he played against great people. You know, comes from one of the best high school football programs in the country. Played against really good people, a lot of Division I scholarship D linemen that he played against in that league. And he's came here, and he's shown. He's a guy that's really physical, plays with good bend, loves football, loves to compete, loves the preparation process. And so he did some really nice things. There's some things he's obviously got to work on. And when the competition increases, he can't get away with some of the mistakes he made on Saturday. But he's a guy that fits kind of what we're looking for up front.
Okay, Keenan, go ahead.
Hey, Neil. Just wanted to ask you, how did you think you did in the tackling department? And a guy that you mentioned in fall camp, Sean Martin, you know, how do you see him fitting in, you know, as this goes forward?
Yeah, so Sean's a guy that we're really excited about. He right now he's and this will give me a little segue because I was going to talk about this in. We've got two guys that are true freshmen for us that are walk-on players that are out right now. They're the only positive COVID cases we have in our program. But Sean missed the game due to contact tracing. He's well, he's fine, but he was he missed the game. He was a guy that we wanted to play, but he was out. He really had his best week of practice last week until he was out. And he was a guy that was definitely going to play, but still really, really excited about him. I like his makeup. How he's worked since he's been here on campus. He's going to be a real bright spot for us.
Okay, Coach, thanks for the time.
All right, thank you.
All right, the head coach of the Mountaineers at the podium here, and a lot to unpack there over the last half an hour. Wolf, I guess we'll just take it from the top here before we head to Jared Parker. West Virginia can't beat West Virginia. 6 penalties, not great. I do like the blue-collar worker award that they're going to be bestowing every week now. Jackson Knipper, very deserving of that. Hat tip to the state of West Virginia. Jackson Knipper, fullback, rolling up his sleeves and paving the way along with the 12 offensive linemen in the 300 plus yards rushing that we had on Saturday.
How can you not like that?
Sure.
You know, Knipper. Kind of like the slobber knocker award we kind of had
Schnocker.
There.
But, Schnocker. Schnocker.
I keep going with Jed called it. But, you know, when you have 12 offensive linemen playing, and, you know, obviously there's some missed assignments. You could hear Coach say, you know, we did some really good things, and at times we did some poor things. But let's go back and look at this. Brandon Yates is a first-time starter, and he talked about how young he was at left tackle, and he was a redshirt freshman. Then you go to James Gemitter, who's only a redshirt sophomore, and then you go to the center, Zach Frazier, and then you go to right guard, Mike Brown. He's a senior, but he's only played 2 years of football. And then, of course, right tackle, John Hughes. But, you know, you also had Bryson Mays going right tackle. You had Bryson Mays going left tackle. So he's all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of interchangeable parts. And as you know, on the offensive line, you like to have consistency. So that makes it a little bit more difficult.
That makes Jared Parker's job a lot easier as well. We'll talk to the first-year WVU offensive coordinator when we return. Thanks for being with us here. You're dialed into, on the radio side, the Neil Brown Press Conference Show. Thanks to everybody watching along our various digital platforms as well. All presented to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. With Dale Wolfley, I'm Dan Zangrilli. We're back in just a moment.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
Injured in a car wreck? The last thing you should worry about is how much it's going to cost you to fight the insurance company. Call 800-687-5990. Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. It costs you nothing out of pocket, and we don't get paid unless you do. We know about the money the insurance companies won't tell you about. We could get you more. Injured in a car wreck? It costs you nothing out of pocket. Nothing. Call Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. 800-687-5990. Around here, you matter.
Welcome back to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. You've heard from the head coach. Now let's hear from a West Virginia assistant coach. Once again, here's Dan Zangrilli.
Alongside Dale Wolfley, and this segment is brought to you by our friends at Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. If you're injured in an accident, call Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. They are West Virginia's injury lawyers. And our guest right now, joining us on the phone, I wish he could be here on set with us. It is offensive coordinator Jared Parker, who is in year number one, and so far so good. I'm not sure if they're all going to be as easy as Saturday was, Coach, when everything seems to just be working in synchronization with each other. But that has to be fun when you're spinning the dials there and pushing the buttons.
Well, absolutely. I think anytime you're able to come out and do what we did on offense and production-wise and all those things, it makes things a little bit easier on everybody. It's easier on you guys to call the game. It's easier for you all to do post-game shows, and it's easier on us to come in here and to look at it as well. But there's tougher roads ahead, and we know that. So we're trying to coach our guys on what's next too.
So what stood out to you most? Was it the offensive line play, the ability to run the football, which is something that was a struggle at times last year? If you could hang your hat on one particular item that you take away on Saturday, what would that be?
Yeah, you know what? Probably I think everybody notices the production and everything. I try not to look at the results of it, kind of see what we need to see together. And I think for us as a staff and for me, I think the biggest thing that I kind of walked away from was going into it. I think I told someone in another interview, what does any offensive coach or any coach want to think and look at after game one, especially after what we've all been through to get to this point? And it was to be penalty-free, to be any procedure penalties free the best we could, and to not turn it over. And I thought to snap the ball 90 times and just have one pre-snap penalty with no turnovers, and really the only penalties were two holding calls on our wideouts outside that we got to get fixed. That, Coach, to me was probably the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, great points for sure. Now let's talk about your stable of talent and wide receivers, where you had seven wide receivers being able to catch the ball. I thought that was, you know, going into the game, I really thought that was going to be a strength of the offense, and they came out, and they really looked pretty good considering the youth.
Yeah, we're still young. You know, I think that for us to come out, I thought we were, you know, kept anxiety low and came out played clean and confident, and for the most part played hard. There's plenty of things we've got to do better, and we've got to get it cleaned up in a hurry before we go into our conference play. But there was some encouraging things that happened in our youth, and I think the guys are hungry to know that we could do even more and should do more. So it was encouraging. You know, it's a good start.
We are chatting with Jared Parker, West Virginia's offensive coordinator. The running game, obviously, headlined by Letty Brown. But Coach Brown mentioned that Alex Sinkfield really took to coaching at the end of the last season, and that he and Coach Scott really put in a lot of work, and he has evolved over the last 6 weeks, in particular adding some bulk, things of that nature. Can you elaborate a little bit further on what Sinkfield has done over the last 6 weeks, which has looked to maybe to see him potentially turning a corner here at long last? What is his potential here, and what exactly has he done?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. He deserves everybody. I mean, he's really earned the respect of his players and as the coaching staff over the last 6 weeks especially, and I think it's a testament to what Chad Scott's done with that room. You know, him and Letty both. Him and Sinkfield, I mean, have both kind of really took ownership of what they want to be in the run game, you know. And it's two guys that have been able to find ways to make sure they trust their read keys, trust their eyes, and know when to stick their foot in the ground and get the ball vertical, and it's really paid off for them. Specifically to Sinkfield, I just think he's become a kind of a guy that's really brought himself to work every day, come to practice every day, and really owned who he is and what he wants to be through his details of being a running back, and it's paid off for him. He's really detailed when we're talking about route game. He's really detailed in what he wants to be as a runner, and with those guys getting coached by Chad and what he's done with them, along with how those guys have bought in, they've started to kind of at least see the rewards of what they can be moving forward.
All right, Coach. Well, we're looking forward to chatting with Letty Brown next. Wolf, what do you think we should ask him? If Coach Parker had a question for Letty Brown live on the air, what should we be grilling him with?
I want to know why he was dancing on the sidelines.
Maybe ask him what's it going to take for him to continue to have success as we step in throughout the year.
All right, well, that'll be our lead question. Coach Jared Parker, West Virginia's offensive coordinator, joining us here on the Neil Brown press conference. So, Coach, thanks so much. Congrats on the big win, and all the best here over the bye week. And then we'll, of course, be talking to you before OSU.
Yep, talk soon. Thank you guys for your support.
All right, great stuff. Thank you for joining us here on the Neil Brown press conference show. What do you say we check in with Letty Brown? Smooth moves on Saturday, indeed.
They were all three of them were pretty good. Kind of remind me of myself. I could have jumped in right there, Danny.
Well, maybe not.
One part would be shaking, the other part would be not moving, and then vice versa.
Yeah, and then and then Vince Blankenship would essentially be getting to you a little bit later on, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
man.
Right. All right. Stay with us. So we'll chat with Letty Brown here in just a moment. West Virginia's starting running back doubled down, by the way. Neil Brown did the fact that Letty is the starter. Even though Sinkfield had a very good game, Letty Brown is the guy in that running back room. Mm-hmm. So we'll chat with him when we return. The Neil Brown Press Conference Show brought to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Dan Zangrilli and Dale Wolfley returning in just a moment here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
Civil and Environmental Consultants, or CEC, is an employee-owned engineering and environmental consulting firm. At CEC, people come first, whether that's our clients, our employees, or our fellow citizens. It's why we listen intently and work harder to learn our clients' business. It's why we prioritize the career development of every individual on our team, and it's why we're invested in the success of our local communities. People are why we do what we love and love what we do. CEC, West Virginians doing West Virginia's work. Visit CECinc.com for more. That's CECinc.com.
Throughout the state of West Virginia, you're listening to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Alongside Dale Wolfley, here's your host, Dan Zangrilli.
And thanks for being with us here. We just heard from the head coach of the Mountaineers plus offensive coordinator, Jared Parker, Dan and Wolf, upstairs here at Milan Puskar Stadium in the television booth as we now head downstairs to the team room via cell phone to chat with the starting running back for the West Virginia Mountaineers, Letty Brown, anointed the starter by Neil Brown a couple of different times publicly, including at today's press conference. Letty joins us live right now. Letty, I'm going to pass along a question from your offensive coordinator, Coach Jared Parker, and it is, what do you need to do to maintain the level of success and performance that you showed on Saturday against Eastern Kentucky?
Practicing and game-like behavior in practice. Don't let practice dictate, like, just being, like, nonchalant in practice. Make sure I go all out in practice, like I will go all out in the game.
So, Letty, when you're looking at this week here, it's a bye week, but this is, you didn't have summer conditioning, you didn't have spring ball. How important is this bye week? And it's really not a bye because it's a work week for sure, but how important is this for you, not only you, but the offense to grow and continue to get ready for Oklahoma State?
That's funny because I was just talking to the offensive line today and I was just telling them, 2 weeks we got to be even, 10 times better than what we was on Saturday because we have to keep up with the in-conference. Oklahoma State is a really good team, really big defensive line. We need to come with the same energy like we did last game.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, so listen, now as I watched you and broke down the film, and what I was watching really the most was that it was your decision-making where sometimes there was a hole there that was wide enough to go through it. I could have ran through it probably myself. Or at other times, you really had to make a decision, make some cuts to get open, and then you had big runs from that.
Yeah. Me Coach Scott has been working on just us pressing the offensive line, getting to the back of them and bringing the linebackers to them to make the offensive line blocks easier. So that's a big thing that we've been working on in the running back room. And that's now applied from practice to the game.
So he's also mentioned, Coach Brown has, as Letty Brown is with us here on the Mountaineer Sports Network, that the running back's vision just needs to be better. The eyes need to be in different positioning. What have you done to work on your vision, to improve it, to be able to execute?
A lot of film with Coach Scott, just long talks with Coach Scott. A lot of joint film with the running backs in the offensive line as well, just getting to know what them guys doing on front is helping me know the right spot to run the ball.
Well, Letty, so far so good through the first game. Looking forward to the bye week and then obviously seeing you back out in action down in Stillwater. Letty Brown, West Virginia's starting running back, joining us. So stay with us. We'll be back with our final thoughts here on the Neil Brown Press Conference Show. This segment brought to you by CEC, Civil and Environmental Consultants. We'll be back in just a moment.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
Injured in a car wreck? The last thing you should worry about is how much it's going to cost you to fight the insurance company. Call 800-687-5990. Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. It costs you nothing out of pocket, and we don't get paid unless you do. We know about the money the insurance companies won't tell you about. We could get you more. Injured in a car wreck? It costs you nothing out of pocket. Nothing. Call Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. 800-687-5990. Around here, you matter.
And we welcome you back to Milam Pushkar Stadium, Mountaineer Field, as West Virginia head coach Neil Brown has just stepped to the podium in the last hour, and he's addressed reporters as he does typically on Tuesdays at noon. And we were able to bring it to you live in its entirety, plus a special thanks, by the way, to Jared Parker, WVU offensive coordinator, and Letty Brown, who we just spoke to a moment ago. Wolf, it was fun to talk to Letty because he's starting to take that next step in his career, and the West Virginia running game is improving, and we're starting to see some really, really good signs, which I think is going to play out in Stillwater 1 week from Saturday.
Well, what's really impressive to me, Danny, is that they actually went out and did the things they were focused on in camp. And they said, these are our goals. These are our expectations. Now, I know that Eastern Kentucky is not Oklahoma State, but I will tell you this, is that that's what you want to do. You want to go out and perform to your standards. This is all about WVU. It wasn't about Eastern Kentucky at all. It was how are we going to go out and perform? 624 yards of total offense. That's going out and performing. I don't care who it is. That's WVU standards.
Yeah, and a lot of players saw a lot of snaps, which what kind of dividends are those going to pay down the stretch? Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing how guys mature, evolve. Zach Frazier on down, Sam Brown, you name it. There are a lot of new faces that we saw on Saturday. Well, they'll continue to progress. They'll continue to evolve, and we'll continue to tell the stories, bring you the sights, and describe the sounds. For Dale Wolfley, I'm Dan Zangrilli. Thanks so much for joining us. Special thanks to everybody who helped put together the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, all brought to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Let's go, Mountaineers. Hail, West Virginia. We'll talk to you next time right here on MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
been listening to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Today's show has been brought to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the West Virginia University Mountaineers, Farmer Klein and Campbell, West Virginia's injury lawyers, CEC, Civil and Environmental Consultants, hiring West Virginians to do West Virginia's work, CECinc.com. That's CECinc.com. Be sure to log on to WVUSports.com to listen to this program in its entirety on demand. Also, be sure to download the WVU Game Day app, a must-have for West Virginia University fans. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.